Good morning and welcome to worship here at the table. For those that I haven't had a chance to meet yet, my name is Matt, and along with Linda, we serve as co-pastors for this community, and we're grateful to gather together both in person and online to be together as we begin this new worship series. We're going to move right into worship with a song called Open Up, which comes to us from The Brilliant. So I'll invite you to stand in body or spirit and to join your voice as you feel led.
say amen and stay standing. Let's take in a deep breath as we move into prayer. It's a short prayer, so we can take in a breath and let it out and come into the room, into the space as we stand in prayer.
It doesn't have to be the blue iris. It could be weeds in a vacant lot, or a few small stones. Just pay attention. Then patch a few words together, and don't try to make them elaborate. This isn't a contest, but the doorway into thanks, and a silence in which another voice may speak.
Lord, I don't want to rush on ahead in my own strength when you're right here. Lord, I don't want to rush on ahead in my own strength when you're right here. I'm not in a hurry when it comes to your spirit, when it comes to your presence, when it comes to your voice. I'm learning to listen just to rest in your nearness. I'm starting to notice you are speaking.
When it comes to you.
to hear you speak. Tell me your thoughts, what's on your mind. I'll be your friend. I want to see through your eyes. I want to see through your eyes.
Let's breathe in and breathe out. Welcome. My name is Sarneet Prasad, and I'm the Sunday morning coordinator here at the table. Can I just say this looks so beautiful? It's just wow. I would like to ask each and everyone to give a clap to yourself for being brave and to be here and to be online too. So thank you for waking up this morning and making your way here or joining us online. Our host today is Nancy, so thank you, Nancy, for that. Today's bulletin is available with a QR code, those in the sanctuary, and a link will be shared for those online. If you would like to learn more about our community of faith, please go to our website, thetableumc.org, and complete an online connect card. This will allow you to connect with us and eventually be in our database. There are six things that I would like to announce. So let me go this quickly. Number one, Pride Parade. So, like as the Queen, Lady Gaga, has said, you're born this way. So we are celebrating Pride this month. And we will be joining Sacramento UMC, Sacramento Pride Parade. And this is with collaboration with other UMC around. And those who would like to join into the Pride, you can sign up. And we will be joining here around 9, and we'll be heading down to downtown or meet up at downtown around 10 or 10:30, and then we'll be out in the march. Number two, Pride Potluck. We will be having a Pride Potluck on June 15th. So that's on a Saturday here at the table, UMC, and we'll have our courtyard, fireside room, and kitchen available for each and everyone, and you can bring your potluck and share with all of us in celebration of Pride. Number three, we have hospitality check-ins. So those who would like to check in and have their name tag allowing people to know you, you can always go into our check-in line and check in yourself. And this is all optional too for those who wants to have labels, and just so that people in the sanctuary could know you and reach out to you. Number four, we have Davis UMC pop-up services. You can actually volunteer if you would like to sign up. You can go to our website and sign up. Future prospects. We have, and this is such an excitement, that we will have headset available for those who would like to have headsets. While here in the sanctuary, we're still in the process of getting few items, and I'm really excited for that. That's number five. Number six, and this is for the future summer cleanup for our sanctuary, for the table. So we will have a sign up available for those who would like to sign up for cleanup. This is in July. So yeah, that's the announcement that I had. I invite you to remain seated as we continue to move with worship, with our music team sharing an original song they created during a writing retreat earlier this year. The song is arranged by Omari, and it's rooted in poetry of Howard Thurman. This is Arrest My Soul.
I'm here. I abandon all I thought I was. I'm here. Everything I thought I'd be by now. I'm here. And I rest my soul. Silence, I am alive and I
my soul.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Bob Martinez. I gotta stop. That was, oh my God, that was mesmerizing. That's beyond words, and that's saying something for me. No, Amari, music team, amazing, amazing. At this time, I want to invite our children to move from the sanctuary to their godly play sanctuaries. And you know what? You know what? I am so excited because this week we begin a brand new worship series called Break On Through to the Other Side.
Break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side.
Okay. Our reading this morning comes from two chapters, chapter 2 and chapter 3 in Mark's Gospel. And I'll be sharing from the First Nations version, which is an indigenous translation of the New Testament. And of course, we invite you to follow along. On a day of resting, Creator sets free Jesus, and his followers were walking through a field of grain. The men were hungry, so as they walked, they plucked some grain from the wheat as they began to eat. When the separated ones, the Pharisees, saw that what they were doing, they said to him, "Why do your followers do what is not permitted on the day of resting?" He answered them, "Have you not heard about the time long ago when the great chief, much loved one, David, was hungry? He and his followers went into Creator's ceremonial lodge when Father of Plenty, Abiathar, was the chief holy man, and ate the ceremonial bread. Only the holy men are permitted to eat this bread. Human beings were not made for the day of resting. Instead, the day of resting was made for human beings. So then, the true human being is chief over the day of resting." Creator sets free, then went to their gathering house to teach. A man was there with a shriveled and useless hand. The separated ones, the Pharisees, kept a close eye on the Creator sets free to see whether he would heal the man on the day of resting so that they could accuse him. Creator sets free said to the man with the useless hand, "Stand up and come forward." Then he turned to the separated ones and asked, "On the day of resting, is it permitted to help or to harm, to rescue life or to destroy it?" They just glared at him and said nothing. There was fire in his eyes as he looked around the room. His anger turned to sorrow when he saw their hearts of stone. He turned to the man and said, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and it was the same as his good hand. The separated ones stormed out right away and went straight to the friends of Looks Brave, the Herodians, to conspire with them about how to do away what the Creator sets free.
Sabbath, day of resting, was the day when Israel celebrated its freedom from compulsion. And on that one day, every week, the people did not work and still they were fed. On that one day, every week, they remembered their worth lay not in their own productivity, but in God's prevenient love for them. It is in our biblical tradition from the very beginning. In the creation story, God is busy creating for 6 days, separating the land from the waters, creating light, fashioning the sun and the moon and the stars and the plants and animals, creeping and crawling and flying creatures, and two human beings. And then it is finished, and all of it is good. And on the seventh day, God finished the work and rested on the seventh day from all the work that God had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it. Walter Brueggemann characterized it like this in a lecture I listened to that he gave on Sabbath. He said, "It's as though God said, on Friday night, I'm not going into the office tomorrow. I'm taking the day off. I've put in long hours every day all week, and tomorrow I'm putting my feet up and enjoying all that I've accomplished." For very many years, I lived in the Napa Valley. Every Sunday, I would drive to church, from the Carneros region, which is where we lived, to downtown Napa many years. Or a few years later, I would walk to church through the quiet residential neighborhoods of St. Helena. I would barrel down the road, whether in a car or walking, not seeing the vineyards, not paying attention to the balloons, blind to the art in the fields, rehearsing all that I had to accomplish that day. It was Sunday. People come from all over the world to drive those roads and to see those views. Many times I would get stuck. Oh, these were the worst times. Stuck behind a carload of tourists. All I could see was the solid yellow line that was forbidding me to pass them. I was definitely in a hurry. And as I tailgated, they would be gazing and pointing. And you could see they'd go a little bit, should we stop here for a picture? No, let's keep on going. They'd slow down to look at the front gates of the vineyards. They'd point out their sunroofs at the small animal petting farm that was by our house out in Carneros. Eventually, they would pull over. And I would zoom past, completely frustrated, no single part of me listening for God's voice on a Sunday morning. I was meant to do my work today, and nothing was going to stop me, not even God. I wonder who is doing a better job of observing the Sabbath. As a co-pastor, I work on Sundays, so it's true that I am able to worship. How can you not with music like this? Mostly. Unless I have discovered that I gave Corey typos that are on the screen in front of you. Unless I notice that the sanitizer is too low. Unless one of these candles goes out. Drives me nuts. But if it is a day like today, we'll worship at 9:30 and 11 with y'all, spend 45 minutes prepping and packing for Davis pop-up, inch along the causeway for another 45 minutes, then worship again at 4 o'clock, pack up, return, then I'll sit down while Pastor Matt unloads everything. It's so true. I really appreciate you. Sometimes playing the cancer card is smart. I know. So Pastor Matt and I try our best to make Monday our Sabbath. But if I'm honest, we don't even call it Sabbath. We call it a slow day, which means not looking at email if I can avoid it after I send out kitchen table questions first thing Monday morning. Then there's Laundry Mountain. Yard work, got to get to the gym, got to do meal prep for my lunches for the week, and so on and so on. It would seem I live by, and maybe some of you too, Boxer's well-known line in that old book, George Orwell's Animal Farm. Boxer was the horse. He would say, "I will work harder." At least that's how I heard it in my head. We stay up too late, work harder, worry more. Anybody out there tired? What a departure all of this work is from the scripture, from what the scripture is offering us. The gift of Sabbath given in Genesis, the gift of Jubilee given in Leviticus, the gift of easy yokes in the Gospel of Matthew, and today the gift of freedom and resistance in the gift of Mark. Pastor Kara Root writes about Sabbath and the way she has been tutored in Sabbath ways by a Jewish colleague in her book, Deepest Belonging. She writes, "Sabbath is an identity marker. To be the people of God means to be people who live in God's command to rest. That is, people who are reminded over and over again every single week that God is God and we are not. By stopping every week on purpose, we acknowledge that there is nothing we can't set down and step away from, See, that's really radical. In fact, the urgency and control that keep us constantly in the driver's seat are lies. Life is about something other than doing work and measuring our worth. Sabbath is time dedicated on purpose for no activity other than to dwell in our own lives and let God meet us there. It reorients us to reality. In stark contrast to the world around us, the relentless pace, the endless self-gratification, the frantic climbing and urgent nonstop work, the news cycle, Sabbath is a gift of rest and perspective that is already part of our faith, just not one we often pay attention to. So how might we relearn and let God meet us so that we might be shifted from ways of fear towards the way of God? What would it look like to break through our tendencies to rush past Sabbath and allow ourselves to dwell in the gift of Sabbath individually and even as a community? I do believe our community is already practicing some Sabbath ways. Instead of allowing the script of scarcity, for example, to keep us worried about whether last year's budget would finish in the black, our finance chair, Debbie, emboldened us early on to trust in God's deep abundance, and we gave money away so that others may live in Habitat homes. Instead of worrying about the shortcomings of our facility prior to our last capital campaign, like the lack of ADA accessible entrances or the serious inadequacies of the bathrooms, and the women had it the worst, we leaned into collaboration with community partners like our preschool and trusted we would find ways to bring a deteriorating old building back to life. When our grip got somewhat tight as our denomination, the United Methodist Church, began to implode a few years ago, we opened our hands and held salon conversations, trying to name and face our fears and then to seek to live in resilient opposition to those same fears. Instead of holding tight in all of these ways, we as a community opened up and let go to see what God is doing. And that is Sabbath. It's true of the farm as well. Instead of giving up quickly when we were kicked off our land, we have slowed down, taken our time, and found eventually, over the course of a year, a new location. In these ways, and maybe many more than I am even aware of, we are practicing Sabbath. Jesus paid attention to Sabbath too, so much so that he challenged the ones who thought they knew him best. Our scripture this morning tells of a time when Jesus and his disciples actually broke a handful of those Sabbath laws by picking and eating grain as they walked through a field on the Sabbath. See, this was considered work, and thus it was forbidden. He also healed a man with a useless hand, also seen as work and forbidden. Those who were watching for just such an infraction caught him and accused him of breaking the rules. Oh, how those separated ones and upright ones in his day, and I would say in ours as well, who see themselves as the leaders, confuse leadership with punitive control and retribution. That's not leadership. He responded first, Jesus did, by citing a kind of precedent. King David, after all, had done something similar, but then he said something very important. The Sabbath is made for human beings, not human beings for the Sabbath. The whole purpose of this tradition, this commandment, is not simply to add another rule to the list of religious requirements and obligations. In this translation we've been using, First Nations version, even Jesus' name is Jesus is Creator Sets Free. And Jesus, Creator, sets free. In that name, we are reminded of Sabbath freedom. Sabbath includes the nurture and restoration and healing and saving and freeing of human life. That's what Jesus cared about, not religious legalism, but whole, healthy human beings in a whole and healthy world. Sabbath brings with it the gift of freedom. The separated and upright ones want to catch and trap Jesus and others. They become like the empire in the way we control and patrol people's behavior instead of leaning into the heart of the gift itself. I'm not sure there is anything worse than a time clock at a workplace, for example. It is nothing more than empire being a watchdog. How has it come to be that we cannot even trust one another, our neighbors, to fill in their own timesheets? Lord. Abraham Joshua Heschel, he's a rabbi who wrote many things. He wrote a lot about Sabbath. And he wrote this: the solution of humankind's most vexing problems will not be found in renouncing technical civilization, but in attaining some degree of independence from it. There's that freedom again. Dorothy Bass reminds us, Sabbath keeping teaches that independence. Reframing from work on a regular basis is a way of setting limits on behavior that is perilous for both human welfare and the welfare of the earth itself. Overworked Americans need rest, and they need to be reminded that they do not cause the grain to grow. Newsflash. And that their greatest fulfillment does not come through the acquisition of material things. Moreover, the planet needs a rest from human plucking and burning and buying and selling. Perhaps as Sabbath keepers, we will come to live and know these truths more fully, and thus to bring their wisdom to the common solution of humanity's problems. What if we made the choice to receive anew the gift that is Sabbath? We heard Omari sing the words of the great theologian and mystic Reverend Dr. Howard Thurman. Can you imagine his words becoming your own on the daily? Listen, I abandon all that I think I am, all that I hope to be, all that I believe I possess. I let go of the past. I withdraw my grasping hand from the future. And in the great silence of this moment, I alertly rest my soul. God's love is calling us to break through and reclaim ways that are countercultural here in this country. God's love is calling us, expanding us, inviting us towards God and our neighbor. Howard Thurman again, in the stillness of the quiet, if we listen, we can hear the whisper of the heart, giving strength to weakness, courage to fear, and hope to despair. If we begin with rest, abundance, enough, joy, and trust, we can let all that comes next flow from that place. This is how Sabbath calls us to break through to the other side. May we receive God's great gift. Amen.
As Jesus gathered with others on what would become known today as a Last Supper, he could have given any number list of things for people to accomplish or set out toward, could have given any number of tasks for them to hold, but instead invited them into a practice of slowing down and gave them the gift of breaking bread and sharing from a cup, of slowing down to notice our oneness together through the act of breaking bread. And so we as a community return to that very same table to reflect on that very same invitation to not be in a hurry and to trust and to allow God to be God in this moment and all the days of our lives. And so to do that, we pause as a community and we name some of the ways that we struggle to dwell in that grace. And so I invite you to stand in body or spirit, and we'll join our voices together in what the church calls a prayer of confession. Let us pray.
Gracious God,
for many of us, the notion of Sabbath keeping is foreign. Yet your example in Scripture challenges us to consider our own patterns of work and rest, to pay attention to our hurts, fears, and exhaustion. Help us, Lord, to understand more deeply what it means for us to live as your people when it comes to the practice of regular rest. May we learn from your word, from each other, and from your indwelling spirit. Amen.
Friends, God is a Sabbath-keeping God, which ensures that restfulness is in keeping with our desires to root our lives in God's unending grace. May each one of us allow that same grace to reassure us of our belovedness in all the movement of our lives. We are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Let's say amen.
Amen. And I invite us to join in the church's practice for recognizing the presence of God in each and every soul around us. Friends, may the peace of Christ be with you. And we invite you to turn to a person near to you and to share a symbol of peace with them.
The Lord be with you.
And also
lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
In the beginning, when all was chaos, water and earth had yet to take shape, and God the sculptor, the painter, the creator touched the swirling mass. God's hand separated earth from water and water from sky, and God touched the earth, and plants turned green and fruit began to grow ripe. To celebrate, God threw holy fireworks in the skies and placing stars in the heavens. And God touched the oceans and rivers and ponds, and swimming beings made waves in the water. And God reached to the sky, and things with wings took flight. And God looked upon all of this and said, "This is good." And when everything was done, God took clay and formed an image of God's own self and breathed into it God's own breath and said, "You're the one I've been imagining. You and everything around you, my beloved creation, is good." But it wasn't good for long. God's people forgot God's ways of holding rest as a place at the center of our lives. So God reached inside God's heart and pulled out compassion and love and justice and placed it in a form that the people might come to recognize, a holy human being named Jesus. And God set Jesus on earth to remind us of God's love for us and God's call for us to love our neighbors.
Yes.
did all he could to tell us how much God loves us and to show us how to love each other, but we couldn't accept that. We couldn't agree about it, and we were afraid. The principalities and power lure the people of God to turn against the way made known in the life, ministry, and love of Jesus. And in the end, Jesus was given away by the very ones who thought they loved him best because the challenge was just too great. But before he was taken, Jesus gathered his friends around a table and promised them and promises us that he will never leave us alone, but will come back and take us home with him. And like those long ago friends, we don't always understand the message Jesus brings to us or what his coming, going, and coming again means to us. But we can be grateful and sing the mystery that is our faith.
Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna in the highest.
On the night when Jesus gathered his friends together, he took the simple food that was their Passover meal, the bread and the wine, and he blessed them both and gave thanks to God and said, I am sharing this meal with you now so that you can share it together whenever you gather to remember me. Together with the words Jesus shared long ago with those closest to him, we, as the church, have named those words the Lord's Prayer. We encourage you to name and address God in the way that is most dear and true to your heart. Let us pray.
Our Mother, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Pour your Spirit, God, upon each of us gathered in this moment and over these gifts which are before us. Make these gifts the body and the love of Christ, and make us through them, Christ's body alive in the world. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. All are welcome to the table of God's love, and when we say all, we mean everyone. We encourage those of us who are worshiping online to bring close to you whatever you are using for your bread and for your juice. Now would be that time. For those of us here in the sanctuary, we will share this meal up here in the front and in the back. Pastor Matt and I will model how to do it in just a moment. We do that because every week we know that among us there are people who are here for the very first time, and this is something new and different, and so we want to normalize that. We also know among us there are those for whom this is a life practice. Most of us are somewhere on that continuum, but always in every way that we can, we remember that we can't make a mistake. We are here to watch over one another in God's love. There are places around the sanctuary to pray, either standing or kneeling. And know that on the platter is bread that was baked for us this weekend, and in the center are crackers that don't have gluten in them.
And in the cup is always grape juice, and so all indeed means all. Friends, this is the bread of life and the body of Christ broken for you and for the whole world, and the cup of God's forgiveness poured out for all. Linda, the bread of life. We encourage those who are praying with candles to stay in a spirit of prayer for just as long as you might desire or need. Loving God, for the gift of this day, for a day of rest, we give you thanks. For this meal which binds us together in and through your love, we give you thanks. For the hope which you bring to our lives and to the world, we give you thanks, and may that be enough. Amen. Friends, it is our deep hope that you, along with us, will wonder about the next steps that God might be inviting you to take in response to worship this day and God's movement in your own life and in the world. For many of us, part of the way we respond to the generosity and the gift that God provides us in the form of life is by trying to give generously of our own resources. And we do that by making gifts online. There are also ways to do that here in the sanctuary. We have a couple of ways to invite you to move deeper into our community. One of those this afternoon after our 11 a.m. worship, we will gather in the fireside room for a very brief meeting that the church calls a charge conference. This is a time of dotting I's and crossing T's. And we just have one beautiful item before us. We have affirmed four people in our community who are feeling called to begin the process of exploring what it would mean to become a pastor. That process is called ordination. And today we will affirm a fifth person who is feeling led in that direction. And her name is Dr. Mary Chang. And Mary is actually leading a retreat far away from here. So she's not going to be with us, but we will have an opportunity to formally affirm God's call on her life just after 11. And she will join those other folks in beginning that process of ordination. At 4 o'clock this afternoon, we will be out at Davis United Methodist Church to share pop-up worship. We continue to experiment with what that looks like out there, so we'll have worship around the same theme and a message that Linda will riff on from that, and a music team that's taking shape out there that'll look different than this beautiful music team that we have here, but we'll have a music team out there that are also phenomenal, and we'll be moving with music that will take us in a different direction as we continue to dream about what worship looks like in that space and how to come alongside the historic members at Davis UMC and to do some teaching and learning together about what it means to be church in a new way and in a new day. A couple of final things. Our folks who are graduating from middle school and going into high school, several of you have already signed up online, and also our folks that are graduating high school and going off from there, we're going to gather next Sunday. We'll have a blessing and our 9:30 service for those folks that are moving from middle school to high school and graduating high school. We'll also have a brunch for families over in the fireside room as we celebrate you all. We'll have a time of celebration in Godly Play. We'll look a little bit different next week. We'll have a celebration in our Godly Play sanctuaries upstairs. And then we'll move over the summer into a time of what we're calling summer children's activities. And to do that, to let our Godly Play storytellers and doorkeepers have a season of rest, Sarah, you get to rest. Others will move in, hopefully some of you will sign up to watch over our children in love, and we'll provide free play outside in the beautiful play yard that we have and art just down the hall. So you can sign up online to pick a Sunday that you could watch over our children in love along with the staff that are out there. And as Sarneet named, we had a beautiful gift that came in from a couple of families that will help us now to purchase. They're en route. They're supposed to be here the end of this coming week. Listening assistance devices that folks will be able to check out in the back of the sanctuary, which we hope will help anyone who's having a challenge with hearing what happens during worship. We hope these six will be a good start for us to make our way in becoming ever more and more accessible. So we invite you to consider all of those ways that you might take a next step in community. And at this moment, I'll invite you to stand in body or spirit as our musicians send us out. This is Flow Like a River.
everything you wish to see. Look around, there's possibility. Everything in our community holds the key.
Here that Eric created for us. If you take a little bit of time, what you'll see if you come up close is yourself, because there's a mirror up here. And it's as though each of us are one of these lights, but together we are flowing like God's river of grace and love. So the invitation is to do just that, to leave this place to flow in the river of God's love. Allow yourself to rest. Don't make it so hard. Amen.